for each and every day, okay? He wants to continually to remind us of his love. I'm just gonna quickly sing this little song. I'm sorry. I've had many tears of sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been time I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. And he always made me know that I am his own. Amen. Through it all, I've been learning to trust in Jesus. I've been learning to trust in God. Through it all, I'm learning to depend upon his word. Amen. I believe that it is through his word that we will deeply find and understand more about God's love. Amen. This thing is coming apart. So he wants us to meditate on his word, the things that he has done in the scripture. When you sit down and you read the word of God, and you read the words that Jesus, the things that Jesus did, okay? And as we meditate, you know, meditate means to think, to constantly roll it over. And many times we roll over wrong things in our mind throughout the years. As we're growing up, you know, from even our youth, you know, there's things and there's grooves in our soul. And it causes us to think the wrong way because it's an automatic thing. But God wants us to replace that with his word. God's word is not obsolete, okay? You want to take time, you want to sit down and read, and you want to meditate on Jesus' actions. Things that he did. And as we do that, I found out that, you know, he reveals more and more to us about the things, what he believes and what God believes. Amen. So many of us have suffered, whether we've been, we suffer from being unloved. Okay? And sometimes it's from our parents, even. Or it maybe feel like it's from our parents. That maybe our parents don't quite love us like we need them to. You might have been rejected by your family. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the situation is, but what I do know is that it leaves you feeling unloved and uncared for. Or Stump said, Jenny, why don't you love me? And she says, Morris, I do love you. And he says, I might not be a smart man, but I do know what love is. We know what love is.
Come on, man.
And whether, you know, the people that's supposed to love us not loving us the way they should be loving us because of whatever reason that might be, you know, we walk away with things torn in our souls.
Amen.
So God wants us to be reminded of his love and that what he did for us. This is my testimony. You know, when things got hard in life, God would always show me his love, no matter what I'm going through. You know, he always shows me his love. He shows up some kind of way. I don't care. He will meet you where you are, whether you're young you know, our own. Amen.
Amen.
We've had this, we had our situation last 2 weeks in our family, and, you know, that was hard because, you know, we loved our brother. And I worked with him side by side, you know, and then something happens all of a sudden. You're not prepared to accept that. And so that can be hard. And during those times, it seems like, you know, everything wants to rush into your mind, you know, and says anything opposite of what God would say.
Come on now.
You know. And so, you know, pray for our family because, you know, just because all the activities of it is over with, it doesn't mean that, you know, that our heart still doesn't hurt.
Amen.
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 I want to read Ephesians 3:16-19. We'll start there. And this is Paul, and he's praying for the people of Ephesus, or the church of Ephesus. And I've, you know, had this verse many times. I brought it before you on many occasions. I guess I just like it. But he was saying that he bowed his knee. You know, for this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.
Amen.
So that rooted and grounded says that when you move out towards someone to help someone, I used to think this was all about just helping somebody else, doing good for somebody else. But God wants us to be rooted and grounded even for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to know how much he loves us. Because you can't really love anybody else the right way unless you know you're being loved. Amen?
Amen.
So when you're moving from this place of being grounded in love, you're motivated by love and what you're doing. You're motivated by love. And you're not looking at, you know, what it's going to cost you. But you're moving. When he talks about the depth, the height, the length, and all of that, he's talking about how large God's love is for us. You know. And he wants us to get it. He wants us to understand that. He wants us to comprehend. He wants us to know. And sometimes we look at this passage, and we look at, it says that love surpasses knowledge. It goes past knowledge. Knowledge is things that you acquire, and, you know, information and things of that nature. And I look at it like being in a race, you know, or side by side, somebody walking side by side. Here I got the love of God, and I got knowledge. Knowledge can only go so far.
Talk about it.
But love just continues on.
Mm.
The Bible says it never fails.
Wow.
It just keeps on going, like that energizing button, right? It just keeps going and going and going. And so you can know some things. I'm not saying that God don't want you to think.
Yeah.
I believe that God gives us our bodies for a reason. Our whole being is for a reason. Our physical body, first of all, we house the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, number one. But everything that he's given us, my friend and I, we have a conversation about how come God didn't give us 7 fingers, you know, and 2 thumbs. Everything has its purpose. Everything on our eyes is seeing, our nose, even to breathe through. We even have eyelashes to block the dirt from coming in our eyes. You know, everything is for its purpose. So, you know, a lot of times people want to tell you, leave your brains at the door, you know, when it comes to God. But that's not what God is all about. He gives us everything. I think the only thing that's in our bodies that they haven't found a reason why it's there is the appendix, I think. Is that right?
Tonsils.
Tonsils? No. I think the appendix, they can take the appendix out and never replace it. But take the heart out. See what happens. Take the lungs out and see what happens. You know? Somebody know? That's true. You can take the tonsils out. I guess you can live without the tonsils. A lot of people.
I still got one.
Anyway, the brain has its purpose. And it's to acquire knowledge. But it's different. Knowledge is different from understanding. Okay? So my definition of knowledge is about facts and ideas that acquire through study, research, investigation, observation, or experience. I like thinking. But here is understanding. Understanding is wisdom, which is the ability to discern and judge which aspect of the knowledge, of that knowledge, are true, right, lasting, and applicable for your life. These things develop in the heart. We're not going to go to the scripture, but it's in Matthew. I didn't put it on the board, but I'm going to tell you about it. Jesus had fed the 5,000, fed the 7,000. He ran into the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Y'all know who they are, right? Pharisees, they were kind of the law people studying the scriptures, you know, from way back. And they wanted to see a sign from Jesus to prove that he was from heaven. Okay, now he'd been healing all these people. He'd been doing all these things. He, you know, turning water into wine and everything. But they want to see a sign. Oh, give us a sign. And Jesus says, you can look at the sky and see and say, oh, it's going to rain today. Or, oh, it's going to be clear today. Yeah, it's red. Okay, the clouds are hanging low. Okay, it's going to be a kind of a rough day today. He says, but you cannot discern the time. Discerning the time is what he was speaking of. He was speaking of that he had come. Now, they read the scriptures. They knew what the scriptures said about him. He said, I've come in the volume of the book. I've been in the scriptures what you've been studying and reading on. But you can't tell that it is I that have come.
Come on now.
He called him a hypocrite. Ooh. He said that it was faking. That's what a hypocrite is. A phony. One who fakes. And so he goes on and, you know, he says some other things to him. And then he went to his disciples. And he told his disciples, he says, you know, beware of the leavening of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so his disciples said, oh, they start reasoning among themselves. And they begin to say, oh, he must be mad at us. Because we didn't bring any bread to feed all these people. You know, he must be angry with us. And Jesus discerned that they were discussing this. He said, guys, why do you think that I'm upset about that? I'm not upset about that. Why did you think that? He said, don't you remember the 5,000, the 7,000? And I have broke the bread and fed everybody, plus had some fragments left over.
Right.
So it's not that God doesn't want us to think. You know, see? He wants us to use the brain to confer, to look.
Yeah.
But he wants us to do it and have wisdom with it. so that we can be able to judge correctly in the Word of God and in our lives, on our own particular lives. Amen?
Amen.
Take that away with you. So if you've been throwing your brain aside, using that as an excuse not to think, you don't have any excuses anymore. We really should think. But think on these things. Amen? So we're going to go to next scripture. Mark 5:22. And I got to get that. Okay. So this is a story. This is a story about Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue. And it says, what I want you to realize is that I want you to look how Jesus loved Jairus. Okay? When you read the scriptures, it's important to be able to empathize with characters in the Bible. That's how you really supposed to, you're supposed to meditate on what's going on, how they felt. You know, we're supposed to do that with one another.
Amen.
Empathize with one another, sympathize with one another. Okay? Each and every day. You'll stay out of a lot of arguments if you did. Amen. Verse 22, it says, and behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Okay, so I want you to understand how Jairus felt. This was his daughter. In another account, it said that this was his only daughter. Okay, and she was low sick near death. And so you can imagine what this father felt like. You know, even if you don't have children, you know, someone that's close to you, that you love very much. Amen.
Amen.
So Jairus was but Jairus was in faith because he came. The fact that he came showed that he had faith that Jesus could do something about this. And so I skipped over this section from 25 to 34. The thing about it is I want you to see that a lot of these people was around him and they was pressing up on him. But Jesus never took Jairus off of his mind. He loved Jairus and he wanted to help Jairus. And all these other people were pressing him and they said it's strong. They were, you know, all up on him. And then there was this woman who was believing that if she could just touch his hem, that she would be made whole. She had an issue of blood. She was bleeding for every day for so many years, years and years and years. Now that's got to be a headache. She was in public in a place where she wasn't supposed to be. If anybody had known her situation, they probably would have, you know, killed her, stoned her to death for being out there. But she had touched his hem and the virtue of God, the Spirit of God ran from Jesus to her. Jesus said that. You know, he said, who touched me? And everybody was like, what do you mean? Who touched you? All of us are touching him. But there was somebody that touched who believed, you know, in his power. And so, all of that was going on in verse 35. It says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue how certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard what the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe.
Mm.
I like that part because to me it's like all these people pressing me and I'm talking and everything, and all of a sudden he hears this word that came from You know, in our terms, it would be the enemy. You know, the enemy brings us words when things like this happen in our life, and things are happening in our life. This man was coming to have his daughter healed, you know, and then somebody come and bring a word. And Jesus immediately heard it and looked at him and caused an intervention. He stopped the flow, the flood of negative thoughts that would come to Jairus' mind. That's showing his love for Jerry. You see what I'm saying? That's love. We're one people. And you know, people following us and you know we going on and stuff. We don't. And somebody will come later and says, You know, you said you was gonna do this and that for me. And you didn't even get to it. Why? Not because I didn't love them, but you know, I'm just, you know, I got all these people around me, you know. You know. And everybody is wanting things from me. I can't get to everybody. You know. But Jesus heard it. And he says, as soon as he heard it, he spoke this word. He says, be not afraid. The whole thing about it is he knew that the words that come against Jairus' mind would come to try to steal his hope and steal his faith. So he had to speak it. And we call it an intervention today. You know. So he had to speak that word quickly to him to let him know. So as I continue to read this, it says that, and he suffered no man to follow him, except for Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he come into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and see at the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why you make all this ado? All this commotion and weep. The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. Verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. Now I go back and I look at this. All these people out here was making all this noise. You know, I think that they were professional mourners. You know what that is. You all remember Good Time, Wanda? On the Good Time, she was a professional mourner. She had I think the pastor was paying her to show up at the funeral and make a lot of hoo noise. Oh! You know, going on. Get out of here. He told me, get on out. Get out of here. You know. The thing about it is that as soon as he said what he said, they started laughing. How do you turn from crying sincerely? The parents certainly would do that. How do you turn from really hurt about somebody dying and then just start laughing? They had to be fake. So anyway, they went on in, and as you notice, that he only took the father and the mother with him, and he took his disciples that he had brought with him, and he took them there, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Amen. So we see that Jesus fulfilled, you know, his love towards Jairus in this situation. And I guess I'm just trying to focus on, you know, how Jesus did not turn away, how he stayed attentive to Jairus, and he knew what was happening inside of Jairus at the time to speak. So I'm just encouraging each and every one of you to, you know, through the Word of God, to study his Word. Don't throw away the Bible. Don't throw away what Jesus did. You know, Jesus is our foundation. Amen. He's our foundation. And the things that he says, you got to put weight in that. Don't put weight in your own ideas. Your mind is, and your brain is there to think, but it also is there to pass the information on to your heart. Amen. So that you can believe. and have faith. My personal story, okay, one of my personal, so I got many personal stories, but I think I shared this with Anthem. I was really hurting one night. It was a whole week, actually, I was in my body. I was really having a lot of pain. And I'm going to tell you that God showed up for me. I was still hurting. See, when trouble comes, you got to still be able to hear God. You know, and you got to prepare to hear God. Okay? When you prepare to hear God, you're listening to what He's already said to you in the past. You know? So, man, I'm sure He can spare you, and He'll have mercy on you if you have it, but I'm just saying He can speak a word out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? To you. And so I was in so much pain, and I would hear the enemy come to my mind and say to me, you know you in that pain, your body in that pain because of what you did.
Uh-oh.
And I tell you that God, this is what God did work with me. I like movies too, like my son. And I like getting revelations from movies and things. But this little thing that he showed, and I can look at a movie over and over and I can remember every word that the movie is saying. I don't know if anybody like that, but I am. And I can look and I can see every impression, every facial impression that's in the movie. And so when I heard the enemy say that, I saw this face show up like this. And it was the face from, I don't know the name of the movie, but it was one of Tyler Perry's movies. You know, when, you know, little Rudy, she played, she was in jail, she got in trouble. You all see that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Luke, the guy Luke, he was, you know, he loved her, and he came to the jail, and he hugged her, and the guard said, "No touching." And he looked at her like this. God put that look, He made that impression into right into my brain.
That's good.
Right.
That's good.
When the devil had tried to tell me something.
Come on now.
I was in pain. I ain't had time to get up and read the Bible. Get a word of me, get a word. I'm hurting, Lord. Please help me. And then he comes back again and he says, "You know God's punishing you. Mm-hmm. He's punishing you in your body." And I'm saying, Jesus, here come God with another word. And it was a word from the It's a Wonderful Life movie. I love that movie. Yeah, how many people seen that movie? Not many people, but you ought to see it. So George is in this movie, and this character named George, and he was, you know, wanting to commit suicide, and God had sent an angel to help him, you know, on this real crucial day. And he wanted to commit suicide, and the angel would talk to him and say, you shouldn't say things like that. And so finally George said, "Yeah, well, maybe you're right. Maybe it's best I've never been born." And the angel says, "Okay, you got your wish. You've never been born." And so the story goes on. He didn't know anybody. Nobody didn't know him. He knew everybody, but he started going to different places and nobody knew him. Even his mother didn't know him. And so he says to his mother, he says to the angel, "Well, I'm off my rocker, or you are." And the angel said, "It ain't me."
Mm.
You know, that's what God said to me. When the devil tried to say that God was putting this on me, he said, "It ain't me." I said, I mean, he took it's something as simple as a movie to talk to me.
Yeah.
He's always got my back.
Come on now, come on, appreciate it.
If you realize these things, then you'll be realize the love of God, the love, the largeness that God has for you. And then you've put that in your heart. It is with your heart that you receive, even you receive salvation. When I was growing up, as a little girl, I always felt my father didn't like me. But he was always sick most of the time. You know, he was sick a lot. But I just kind of felt that way. You know, because I used to get a lot of corporal punishments. Y'all know what that means. Spankings. And I didn't like it, but I got so many weapons, and there was times I didn't do anything, but I still got it. I grew and got older, God revealed things to me. I was, when I became a teenager, you know, my dad, you know, he, even when I was a little girl, I remember him being so sick from time to time. I always sit in and out of the hospital throughout his life. And I remember as a little girl that they even had to, we had these real huge steps, you know, that you climb up to get inside the house. And so he couldn't even walk up those steps, that they had to bring a chair out. And some of the men in the neighborhood lifted him up and carried him up the steps. You know, I don't know everything that my father thought about. He died younger than what I am today. He was only 55 when he passed away. And when I was a teenager, I told him how I felt. And you know, he was shocked. Yeah. And he was like, where you get that from? Yeah. That was my impression, that I felt that way. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, the last time I saw him, the last time he talked to me, he came in my room. He was getting ready to go back to the hospital. He came in my room, and I was asleep, like a teenager, sleeping late. And he grabbed my tuck and woke me up. I woke up, I was kind of driving, right? And he was like, I want to let you know that I love you, man. And if I ever did, if I whipped you for any wrong reason, I'm sorry.
Wow.
He told me that. All right. I didn't realize that was going to be the last time I saw him.
Wow.
But it was. But as life rolled on, God began to show me things about my father. And I had made peace with him. I wrote him a letter. I written a letter today. I wrote him a letter. And a lot of things just came out and it was resolved in my heart. And God showed me, he says, you know, your dad went to work every day. You never missed a meal. God knows I didn't. I even had seconds. The lights would never turn out. The heat was always warm.
Come on now.
He would get up in the morning. I don't know how early. It was before the, you know, the sun got up and came up. And he would get ready and he would go to work. He worked at GM. And he would get off, I guess, about 4 o'clock and get home about 4:30. And he'd come home and he'd look at the evening news, the world news, get a little sleep, and he would go into his night job. Get off of there about 10 o'clock, come home at 10, about 10:30. We would be trying to get our chores done before he got in. Because you know he was going to lay a hammer on you. And he did this every day, consistently, Monday through Saturday. He even worked at a night job on Saturdays. And then on Sundays, he went to church. Every day, all I can remember, every day, constantly, every day. I started to think about it. This is a person that was sick in their body mostly all the time. But he was constant in taking care of us. We didn't go hungry. We weren't barefooted. You know, we send kids outside with bare feet. But they're not us. We weren't allowed. And so I saw that character of love that came out. You know? All that mind, I was thinking that he didn't really care too much about me. And now I find out later in years, as I have my own child, now I understand. When I get aches in my body, now I understand. You know, finding love. That's what this message is about, finding love. And you can find it in your own heart. Amen? You can find it in your own heart. This is for everybody. This is for the children. Amen? And this is for the adults. This is for everybody. So I hope that you will, I said I want to be before you long, but this is for fun. I hope that you will take away this, take something away with you. What I want you guys to do right now is to partner up with one person with you and pray for one another. Pray for the understanding of God's love. take about a minute and a half. First person, pray, second person, pray. Pray for each other. Amen. If you could do that. Thank you. We always come before you. When we come before you, we always want to give everybody the opportunity to receive this wonderful Jesus who makes all the difference in the world. And so I just ask you to bow your heads once again and pray this prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your truth that you have sent to this earth. Father, I receive Jesus as my personal Savior into my heart. I make this confession that I believe because I know your word, and I have received your word into my heart, that Jesus died on the cross for me, and on the third day, he was raised by the Spirit of God. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. This is your first time doing that today, and you really meant that from your heart. I just ask, raise your hand if there's anybody for the first time. Okay. Well, everybody's born again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I guess we're going.
Amen. Thank God for that word, man. Amen. Woo! Finding love. When you find love, you find God. And when you find God, all things become possible, amen. I tell you, man, that message really hits home with me, because every time I need something, every time I feel like in my heart something I need, God always delivers exactly what I need, amen.